We'll also talk, I'll take a look at former client conflicts of interest and really this migrating lawyer problem. There was a case out of Austin a few years ago that went up to the Federal Circuit, and I'll talk briefly about it. But I, as an expert, I've been involved in some other cases where this problem has come up. And what it is somebody leaves either a firm or a in-house counsel position and goes to another firm. And at that other firm, they're acting adversely to their former client. So the way that it has come up in the in-house counsel context is somebody leaves, you know, Exxon. I'm going to probably throw Exxon out there a bunch because when I was at Baker Botts, I know it's ExxonMobil. So when I, you know, you go from Exxon and then you go to work at Shell. Well, what if Shell is in a lawsuit against Exxon and you're in-house at Shell? What are the conflicts of interest issues there? And the same thing is if I go from Baker Botts to Fulbright, and I forget what they're called nowadays, and Fulbright is against Exxon. What are the rules there? And we'll talk about that. It's called a migrating lawyer problem, and the rules are a little bit different. And if you're not careful, it can create some real problems. And then fairly quickly, at a fairly high level, we'll talk about what adversity is. We're going to learn I can't be adverse to a current client, can't be adverse to a former client if what I'm doing against the client is related to what I did for them. Well, what does adversity mean in outside of suing somebody? And we'll take a pretty quick look through that. I've talked about it with this group before. So this trap that is out there with choice of law, it comes up in a lot of different ways, but it really comes up in the current client conflict problem a fair amount. And it's because Texas has a very different rule than almost every state. Texas Rule 1.06B1 says, notice I put ostensibly, and that's because there's some case law out there in Texas saying maybe it doesn't mean quite what it says, permits a lawyer to be adverse to a current client so long as whatever you're doing against the client isn't related to what you are doing for the client. So, and it is if one lawyer is disqualified under this, the entire firm is, and I'll talk about how firm is defined in a second. So under the Texas rule, if I'm representing Exxon, and you're in my law firm, one of you can be adverse to Exxon as long as it's not substantially related, and we'll talk a little bit about that, to what I'm doing for Exxon. And even I can be adverse to Exxon as long as what I'm doing against Exxon isn't substantially related to what I'm doing for it. So Texas lets you be adverse to a current client, just not in a substantially related matter. That's a very unusual rule. And here's where the gotcha comes in. In the Fifth Circuit and the Tenth Circuit, and again, some other federal courts, they don't look at state court rules. It's kind of like, you remember, I don't want to bring up bad memories, but you remember the Erie Doctrine and the brooding omnipresence in the sky? Well, there's a brooding omnipresence of federal ethical rules in Texas, federal court, in the Fifth Circuit and other circuits. They held that under this Dresser decision from, I think it was 92, and I'll talk about the PTO in a second, that federal law applies. And under federal ethical law, you may not be adverse to a current client, period. So if I am representing Exxon, I can't be adverse to Exxon. If I'm representing Exxon, nobody in my firm, you can't be adverse to Exxon. The PTO's rule is very similar to the model rule, which says you cannot be adverse to a current client. And again, if I can't do it, you can't do it. So you really have to watch out. If you're engaged in practice before the office, which includes prosecution, IPRs, you know, that sort of stuff, and more than that, you probably need to look at the PTO rule because of how the Texas choice of law rule is written and how federal courts rule. So this Fifth Circuit choice of law trap, even though the Texas rule says that you can be adverse to a current client as long as it's not related, because of the choice of law rules, when you're in federal court, federal law applies, you cannot be adverse to a current client even if it is unrelated. So what does that mean? Well, that means a federal court should disqualify your firm. If I'm representing Exxon and one of you is acting adversely to it, that means that you are acting unethically and the firm should be disqualified. It means, as we'll delve into a little bit more later on, we may have a conflict of interest that could serve as a basis for a malpractice claim, serve as the basis for us to lose fees back to our clients. Also, again, with the PTO rule, if it's practiced before the office, prosecution, IPRs, things like that, adversity is prohibited. Doesn't matter if what I am doing for Exxon has nothing to do with whatever it is you're doing in prosecution that is adverse to Exxon, cannot do it. So the idea of adversity becomes really important to spot. Doesn't matter if the matters have nothing to do with each other.